Join the team every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. for the Sports Company on 97.7. Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Rustin Monroe, 97.7. It's time for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on Sports Talk 977 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Now, here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Welcome in, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined by Beck Haynes, John Tabor running the board. We're back another week. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Louisiana Tech. Beck, I guess the big news this week, Louisiana Tech headed to the Hawaii Bowl to take on Hawaii. A nice reward. You know, last week we talked a little bit about potentially going to the Hawaii Bowl. It was made official Wednesday afternoon. Tommy McClellan revealed to the team around 2 p.m. I was there for the press conference at 2:45. Tech finishes the season 7-5 overall. Hawaii's 8-5. Certainly a pretty intriguing matchup when you talk about Louisiana Tech traveling to Hawaii to take on the Hawaii Warriors.
Yeah, a little flashback to the old the WAC days, Ben. We were some epic games between Tech and Hawaii. We got to see that. I know Hawaii plays that bowl every single year, right?
They're eligible. When they're eligible, yes. So they're like 12-0 and they go to the Sugar Bowl. But how often does that happen?
Is it just, I don't want to leave, home field advantage? Why do they play every year?
Well, I mean, I think when you look at
it's a home game.
Yeah, well, and you have to talk about or look at, you know, it's difficult. It costs them a tremendous amount of money to leave the island, and they do it. I think every year they're granted an extra game because they play in Hawaii, so they're able to play 8 or 13 regular season games. So when it comes to a bowl game, they are granted the opportunity to play at their own home field, which I think helps them financially, is the main reason for it. So, and it also avoids, you know, two teams from the, you know, central United States having to travel out there. But I think it's a great reward for these guys to be able to go out to Hawaii, to be able to play, you know, a bowl game. Granted, the season didn't end how we expected it to end, but, you know, 7-5, an opportunity, like Jalen Ferguson said in the press conference, another opportunity to compete. And these guys are certainly excited to compete one more time on December 22nd against a Hawaii team. I know that if it was me, I would certainly be pretty pumped to be able to travel out to Hawaii, you know, especially if I was a senior to play my final collegiate game.
Ryan, Ben, we talked about this earlier, but in my opinion, this year for Tech, there's no better year than this year for Tech to go to this bowl game, coming off two losses at the end of the season. Fan support was down, Ben, let's just be honest. And
no,
I have enjoyed. We've enjoyed the bowls in Dallas. I'm not saying fans wouldn't go to the bowl in Dallas, but this is a good year
for
Tech to go to Hawaii. If this was a 9-win team, a 10-win team, not the best year. I've heard some fans say just naming out some ticket prices is what it looks like to go to Hawaii, just a little prohibitive financially. But it's a 9:30 p.m. game, so you're going to have to stay up late.
Hey, going to be a late one, I'll
gonna
tell
you. Going to be a late one. Ben will be up. He's got two kids.
Yeah, I'll be up.
He'll be up. So it'll be a good game. I'm excited. It's nice to be able to play a game where we actually have some history. Some of these schools we play, like SMU, like, you know, that's great and all, but there's a little history behind Tech and Hawaii, so it'll be nice to revisit that.
Well, yeah, and you talk about the history between Tech and Hawaii. You know, obviously the two teams used to play against one another in Conference USA, so that's pretty intriguing as well. Before we really get into things tonight, of course, there's a ton of information to cover. We have two guests joining us tonight. You know, our good friend Sutton Davison. You know, Sutton, friend of the program, likes to make some bold, hot takes that aren't very accurate in most cases. You know, one may, you know, Sutton will be sure to ruffle some feathers in the next segment at 6:15. Austin Brown will join us at 6:45 from Mid-Major Madness. Excited to talk with Austin about Conference USA basketball. We're going to talk to him about the new scheduling pod that Conference USA is using this season. Of course, we've talked to Eric Conkle. It's probably been 6 weeks since we've talked to Coach Conkle, but I'm interested to get an outsider's thought, an outsider's view on how this may affect the conference, especially in a positive way. So that we'll talk to Austin about that. We'll talk with him also about the new net rankings. Net is the new system that the NCAA is using, similar to RPI. I believe the first rankings were released 2 weeks ago, so it'll allow us to really I don't think it'll be that much more accurate than RPI is or was, nor do I think it will probably allow Conference USA to get two teams in. I just want to see what he thinks, especially from a quote-unquote mid-major perspective, to see what those, you know, see if that helps, you know, some of the little guys get into the tournament a little bit more often. So, Beck, let's go ahead before we get into things and before we break down what's coming up later on in the show. Let's go ahead and thank our sponsors.
Ben, we got Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen of Ruston and El Dorado, Walpole Tire and Service, Scott Seafood, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister Smokehouse Barbecue, and our good friends at O'Neill Gas, and of course our title sponsor, First National Bank. Thank you to our sponsors. We wouldn't be on the air without you, and you wouldn't have all this hot tech info from Mr. Bleed Tech Blue himself, Ben Carlisle.
Oh, absolutely, and of course, you know, you can call us, you can text us on the Fairway Carts hotline or text line 888-993-7762. We'd love to hear from you, whether you want to talk the Hawaii Bowl, whether you want to talk the final two regular season games that Louisiana Tech fell to Southern Miss and Western Kentucky in. We can talk some Duck and Dog basketball. We can talk where you think the Louisiana Tech program is headed. We welcome your opinions. We welcome your thoughts. But, Beck, you know, we talked in the open a little bit about the Hawaii Bowl, and we're really going to break down Hawaii more so at 6:30 after Sutton Zone in the next segment to talk about that game, where Tech might be mentally, how they might fare in this game. So let's put that on the back burner for now. Let's look elsewhere around the country. I don't know if you saw today. I would assume that you did. You claim to be a football fan. So did you see that Mr. Urban Meyer decides to step away from Ohio State, and he's going to retire? It seems that we hear this from Urban every 6 to 7 years, that he's going to retire and he'll resurface somewhere else. So kind of your thoughts from a national, you know, on a national scale, Urban Meyer retires from Ohio State, Ryan Day, offensive coordinator, tabbed as his replacement.
Well, BC, I couldn't miss it because I woke up from a text at like 6:30 this morning from you.
From your boy.
Letting me know that Urban Meyer's retiring. You know, I can't say that I'm surprised. Mainly, his health concerns has been an issue. And if you watch that dude on the sideline,
he looks rough.
He is stressed, okay?
Yeah, and he is. Mainly because his defense sucks.
Oh, and they're always in close games when they shouldn't be. So
yeah, you're right.
So to miss the playoffs, to have everything go on that went on at the beginning of the season this year, I always say it, there's got to be some point where you just think to yourself, I don't got to deal with this. I know that Urban loves coaching. I know that's where his passion is. Even in a press conference today, they were trying to get him to say, I'm done forever. He won't do it, Ben. He'll be back in some capacity. I can see him being in the booth someday. I just don't think he's ever going to return to the sideline unless his health dramatically improves. I don't know. How old is Urban?
54 years of
age. He's just a young, spry fella, Ben.
Hey. 81-9 in his career at Ohio State.
That's not bad. He probably wanted to get out before 10 losses.
Ben, yes, he did.
Here's, you know, we had this debate about the way that the way that coaching is going in the NFL and in college football. It looks, what we've concluded, and I mean we're experts, so is in the NFL is going younger, but college is going older. Example, correct. Herm Edwards coming back. You're getting these
Les Miles.
Les Miles.
Mack Brown.
You're getting these quote-unquote legends to come back and jumpstart a program, and it's, you know, that's a hire that the university is, you know, everybody wants an established big name, you know? So then the NFL's got your Sean McVays and some of your younger guys. So I don't know. I'm not saying Urban will never be back, but I'm not surprised by the move either.
I'm not either. And I think, you know, if you have any sort of pulse on the world of college basketball college football, you can kind of see it come. And looking elsewhere, you know, last week after Louisiana Tech had lost to Western Kentucky, we talked about Mike Sanford being let go the following day. Western Kentucky has tabbed his replacement, Tyson Helton, Tennessee offensive coordinator. You know, he has some ties to Western Kentucky. I think he previously spent some time there, so we'll see how Helton can do on the recruiting trail. Brad Lambert, we mentioned that he was fired from Charlotte following the end of their season. You know, I actually thought Charlotte had a decent season for their standards, going 5-7, knocking our boy Lane Kiffin down to 5-7 overall, forcing him to miss a bowl game. But Lambert was fired. And, Beck, I don't know if you really followed this coaching search. It was interesting. Earlier this week, maybe on Sunday or Monday, Mike Houston, the head coach at James Madison, was tabbed as his replacement. Well, basically what happened was Houston wanted to keep his options open. Didn't want to say yes to Charlotte right away because he had his eye on East Carolina. Charlotte's AD got his feelings hurt, took the offer off the table, said, you know what? I'm going for Will Healy from Austin Peay. Austin Peay. Before Healy took over, they were 1-45 in their last 46 games.
Wow.
But, hey, maybe Will Healy can continue Charlotte's upward trajectory
sure.
that Brad Lambert set him up on. Elsewhere in Conference USA coaching, just a busy week across Conference USA. Lane Kiffin fires his defensive coordinator after a 5-7
season.
Well,
yeah.
Yep. I would
assume so.
Yep. They're set for their fourth defensive coordinator in 4 years. You know, some continuity on that side
of
the ball.
Kiffin can't fire himself, so.
No, that's
right.
He had
to fire somebody.
Yep. You know, things seem to really be going well in Boca Raton. You know,
Singletary's gone, right?
I would imagine he enters
he's
the draft.
He's gone.
Yeah.
So
we'll see.
We'll see what Kiffin's made of next year.
Yeah.
Tabe said he's already out the door. Halfway to the draft, he's just going to sit outside and wait.
Nah, I think he should. I don't think I would take another 400 carries.
He was going to sit out the bowl game if they were going to get one, which they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't. UAB wins the conference championship.
That was a close one, though.
It was a close game, but, man, I don't like UAB winning.
Well,
There's nothing about the Blazers that I like. 27-25 over Middle Tennessee. I believe Rick Stockstill is going to step down and retire from Middle Tennessee. Had the pleasure of coaching his son Brent for 5 years. Middle Tennessee put together a nice season. I think they're 8-5.
That's how many years you went to college, Ben.
Yeah, bro. I wish I could have went 7. But, you know, it is what it is.
Okay, so there's not even a small part of you that's like, man, it's kind of impressive what UAB has done with their program. I don't like them either, Ben. They came into the Joe and just.
I'm not going to say it's a great story. But it's not like they
it's
built it from
scratch. Not one
you're going
to read to your kids.
Well, they didn't
not.
Build it from scratch. They were in the 2 years that they didn't have a program, they could sign 50 players a year. Like, dear Lord, I could land.
I know, but how hard is it to sign a player when you don't even got a program?
Well, if they don't have the grades, it's pretty easy because they don't have any other options.
So it was like kind of like Last Chance U?
Yeah, 2.0 at the D1 level.
An academic Last Chance U?
But, hey, give Bill Clark some credit. He did a good job, 10-3 overall this year. They'll get a great pleasure of going to the Boca Raton Bowl. They'll get to play Northern Illinois. Who doesn't want to play a school from the MAC? You know, one of the least intriguing matchups across all the bowls. I'll put it that way. So that's really the news on the coaching side of things within Conference USA. Duncan Dogs defeat Houston Baptist. They're at home tonight against Prairie View. We'll keep you updated throughout the show. We'll talk a little bit about Xavion Christian. He's out indefinitely for the Duncan Dogs with a medical issue. We'll also talk a little bit recruiting in the final segment of the show. So we're going to go ahead and take our first time out. When we come back from the break, we'll be joined by Sutton Davison Good friend of the program. Getting married this weekend. That's really why we got him on. We know he doesn't have the most expert analysis when it comes to sports. So we're going to take a quick time out. When we come back from the break, you listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
When we win, our customers really win. This is Steve Brennan at Brennan Dodge in Ruston. And Brennan Dodge has just been awarded the prestigious J.D. Power Customer First Award for Excellence. As one of only three Chrysler dealers in the state to achieve this, we are proud of our employees for their tireless efforts to put our customers first in everything we do. So thank you to Rusty Wilfong, Randy Funes, Ricky Meyer, Christina Rowley, Tommy Tomlin, and Todd Thielen staff. We make sure each Brennan Dodge customer's experience is of the highest caliber. Come in and see firsthand why customers are first at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank. We promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
DQ fans, your hanger monster just got hanger managed with the DQ Hungry Up Deal. A single, double, or triple burger with cheese plus fries and a mini blizzard treat starting at just $4. Three deals meant to satisfy any level of hunger. From hungry-ish to hungry to straight up hangry. Meet your new hanger management system today. The Hungry Up Deal. Only at your DQ. This is fan food, not fast food.
Want to find out stuff about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes, John Tabor running the board. We're now joined on the Fairway Cards hotline. Former co-host Bleed Tech Blue Radio. He joins us every now, you know, every...
when it's convenient, Ben.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. When he doesn't have a sweet hot date to go on. Sutton Davison, how you doing, my friend?
Man, I've been listening to the show up to this point, and y'all have made so many irrational claims about me, it's ridiculous.
Well, you know, we bring you on here for your football expertise, obviously. You're...
No, you don't. Apparently, you don't think I have any expertise.
Hey, this is not the place to be sensitive, son. We got to talk tech sports.
So, Sutton, you know, obviously you've had, you know, it's been a tremendous downfall in your career ever since you left Bleed Tech Blue Radio. You had to move off to Nashville. I know you've been surrounded by some mediocre football when you look at the Vanderbilt program. But, you know, on the outside looking in, I know you've had the opportunity to watch Louisiana Tech throughout the season. Finished 7-5 overall. You lose the final two regular season games of the year to Southern Miss and Western Kentucky. From an outsider's perspective, what are your thoughts on the season?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you this right now. I'm no outsider, okay?
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
I'm no outsider. I may not live in Ruston, Louisiana anymore, which, don't get me wrong, is a sad, sad reality that I think about every single day. But I'm no outsider. I followed these games much more closely than Beck did, I guarantee you.
I ain't saying a whole lot. Not saying a whole lot.
And I just want him to know who always will be the OG co-host.
That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. Love
anyway,
your confidence.
What I think is, first of all, if you'll just remember back to the beginning of the season, you had me on the very first show, the very first segment of the season, and we did our predictions and our analysis and our breakdown. So we're going to do a little bit of where Sutton was right and where Sutton was wrong.
I love it.
Have you seen Colin Cowherd's show?
I have.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I know you're an avid consumer of that program, so you'll be following me. Where Sutton was right. Man, where to start? I'm right about a lot of things, so we'll start at the first thing I was right about, which was Tech's record. Now, granted, we have one more game to play, so we've got to, you know, Tech's got to pull that one out for me to be right. But I said 8-5 would be the record at the end of the season. And if you know, we're sitting at 7-5 right now. So if Tech can pull out a win in the Hawaii Bowl, I will have nailed the record prediction on the money. Where Sutton was right. Where Sutton was also right is that Jamar Smith would not be named first or second team all conference.
Yeah, it was now, honorable mention.
I know you walked into that studio week one ready to give him the Heisman, but you said he was going to, you guaranteed us he would be a first or second team all conference selection.
They owe me $1,000, Ben.
I'm going to go ahead and say that the honorable mention all conference selection is similar to walking up to the lunch line at school and asking someone, hey, we've got to do this award ceremony later. No one will do it. Who wants to do it? And then picking a random kid and throwing him up there and making him do it. That's what honorable mention all conference is like. There weren't three quarterbacks in the conference that even deserved to be mentioned. So they threw Jamar Smith up there because he can throw the ball every now and then. Anyway, where Sutton was wrong.
Yeah, everywhere else.
If you look at the game by game predictions that I made at the beginning of the season, and I think we all agreed on those predictions. We were all wrong in a lot of ways. I know those last two games of the season proved us wrong. Southern Miss was a loss that we were optimistic about. And then when you look at Western Kentucky, we all knew the program was down, and I think we all kind of anticipated us to go in there and steamroll those guys, or for them to come here and get steamrolled, as they've done time and time again. Those guys can't win in Ruston, but they proved us wrong this year. So other than that, I was right about everything. I was right about LSU being a Super Bowl-type game for this team, and I don't take those comments back.
Well,
everyone on the board, I guess. Everyone thinks I'm a LSU fan now, which is awesome, because that couldn't be further from the truth. But that proved me right in a lot of ways this year. I don't think this team did anything stellar, but 8-5, if that's a down year in this program, then hey, we'll take it, won't we?
Yeah, and I think you make a good point. You know, obviously, we're not satisfied by any means when you talk about going 7-5 in the regular season, potentially going 8-5 overall. But, like you said, if 8-5 is a down year, and I know last year was billed as more of a rebuilding year than this year might have been, but at the same time, 8-5, I'll take it, but I don't want to see it every year. We need to get to a point where, you know, 9-win regular seasons, you know, pushing for that 10th win, and obviously playing for conference championship, you know, like we did in 2014 and 2016. So overall, you know, do you think the program is trending upwards? Are we downwards? Are we kind of stagnant at this point?
You know what? That's a good question. I think the best way to describe it at this point, now guaranteed, there's some recency bias going on, which means, what that means for you, Ben, I know, Mr. 5-year degree, recency bias basically means whatever situation you're currently in, it's kind of hard to see past that situation. So you're going to be biased towards it. So right now, there's not a lot of, hype around the program. So the recency bias would say that we're feeling a little stagnant. That's where I would go. If you give me those three options of trending upward, downward, or stagnant, I'm going to say stagnant with the chance to trend upward. I know we have a great recruiting class coming in 2019. I'm looking forward to that. But I do think some things have to change, mostly on the offensive side of the football, for Tech to be able to improve on this season. I want to ask you guys this. There's 129 FBS teams. And if you've already looked this up, then it's not fair. But do you want to guess what number out of 129 the Louisiana Tech offense finished the regular season?
I ain't got a clue. Probably, I'll say total guess, 92.
The offense, like where the offense finished?
Yeah, out of 129.
85.
Wow, you guys should be proud of yourselves because the answer is 91.
Hey, we're pretty solid, bro. They don't call us experts for
reason. But Ben, let's ask you, what is your what do you got to say about your where you were super wrong at the beginning of the season about some of our all conference players?
No, Sutton's already addressed that. Continue.
No. I'm saying, I want you to be able to defend yourself.
No, I mean, I missed on Jamar. I mean, it's pretty obvious at this point, but I'm going to talk a little bit about that later on the show, and I know nobody's going to want to hear it, but I think it needs to be addressed. Like, Jamar is what he is at quarterback, and I think we've learned that through his first 26 starts. Is he great? No. Is he terrible? No. He's an average college quarterback, and when you're talking about playing with an average college quarterback that can be inconsistent on a week-to-week basis, the pieces around him have to perform at a higher level more consistently. And that's what we didn't see this year as well. So I don't think it all falls on Jamar, and we've talked about that on the show many times. But you have to be able to surround your quarterback with great play around him if he's going to be just merely average. And I think that was a majority of the struggles offensively, especially, you know, Teddy Veal misses the last game. Israel Tucker misses four or five games. Jaquizz Dancy's banged up throughout the year. There's a multitude of things we can look at, but I think the biggest part that I missed on was the play of Jamar. I thought he would be a lot better just seeing what he did in the preseason, but it obviously did not carry over into the regular season.
Ben, I don't want to stir anything up, but I know that when we talk about this on this show, people get stirred up, but I do want to throw this out there just to put it in perspective. Tech's total offense after the 2018 season, before the bowl game, granted, finished at number 91 in the country.
Yes.
Do you want to know who sits at number 56 in the country?
Yes, I do.
So the boys from Monroe, the Louisiana Monroe Warhawks.
Well, and good for them, though. You know, they
at number 56.
Yeah, they
had. So I'm just saying.
No, you're. I agree.
Forty slots behind the team that Tech fans and Tech prides itself on being a cut above.
Yeah.
And,
well, I'll put this on your cut above: 7-6. How's that for a cut above?
That's fine, and I'm gonna. You didn't let me finish. What I'm gonna get to next is that Tech had a solid year defensively. Tech finished at number 33 in the country in total defense.
And let me add this before you go on: the best Tech defense from a total yards perspective since 1994.
I agree. I mean that's just fact. 350 yards per game in today's college football. That's doing some work.
Sutton, what's your speculation on staff changes in the offseason?
That's a good question. You know, I'm a big fan of Skip Holtz. I think he's done some great things, and I don't think that it's time to call for his head like a lot of the irrational folks that we talk to think it is. And that's another thing that comes with being in the middle of fans would.
And I think some of the stuff when you call for a coach's head, whether you're at Tech or whether you're at, you know, Clemson or Alabama, I think a lot of that comes from, like you said, that recency bias. What is on your mind the last time you saw this team? You know,
exactly.
And so some of
exactly.
that, you know, it is irrational when you look at it from the big, you know, big perspective. But when you look at it from a recency standpoint, it's a little bit more understanding, I guess.
Here's
is the
what
best
I'll
way
say.
To put it.
Here's what I'll say. I'm a huge NFL fan. I love college football, but NFL is my first love. And as I watched the NFL this season, I noticed one thing, and that's that everybody wants to be Sean McVay and the Rams. Everyone wants to keep up with Sean McVay and the Rams. Everyone wants to, you know, air it out 60 times a game and run that Big 12-type offense that's seeping its way into the NFL. And then you look over and you've got the coaches that do what everybody else does, which is run pass. You run it out there, you know what's coming on first, second, and third down, and you punt it away. I think that Skip, his downfall this year and in years past is that
predictable.
He's had exceptional personnel, and he's been running kind of that slow pace, some would say not very electrifying offense. But with the personnel changes this year, they haven't had the players to really make the best out of that type of play calling. And so I think what you're seeing in the NFL is either keep up with the Joneses or you're going to get run over. And I think Skip Holtz might need to adjust his style just a hair to keep up with the level of play that's happening in college football now.
Yeah,
everyone hates on the Big 12 because they air it out and don't play defense. But you look at a team like Oklahoma who just eked its way into the college football playoff and are going to look to just outscore you every night. And I'm not saying that's where Tech needs to head, but I do think that adapt to survive is in play here.
Yeah, and I think, you know, some of the stuff you talked about, slowing it down offensively, I think some of that was he realized some of the inconsistencies that he had, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, while also at the same time realizing that his defense was pretty good this year. So I think, you know, he felt that that was his best way, you know, best game plan, you know, per se, to win on a week-in and week-out basis. Now, we can all look back, and hindsight's always 20-20, and say, you know,
right,
maybe if you go up-tempo in this situation or that situation, you know, we might end up 9-3, 10-2. But, you know, it's easy to say that after the season. I think what he did, he tried to play to what he thought was best to his personnel, and it just didn't turn out as well as, you know, most of us thought it should. So, final question before we let you go. Are you pumped to see your boys this weekend? Because we're finally, at 37 years old, you're finally getting married.
37.
I'm 27. I'm kidding.
Yeah, man. The next time I see you boys, we'll all be up here together, and I'll be waiting on my bride to walk down the aisle with y'all standing next to me. So it's an honor and a privilege. I don't know if our listeners remember, I asked y'all to be my groomsmen on the air.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
This is full circle, but it's an exciting time, and it'll take my mind off of Pittsburgh Steelers football for a little bit. And
the fact that you're in the loser playoffs in our fantasy football league.
Exactly. I've got a lot of things I don't need to be keeping up with anymore. So I'm going to go to Mexico. I'm going to set my line up. I'm going to let it fall as it may. I'm going to pray a couple extra prayers so that I ain't got to spend 24 straight hours inside of a Walmart playing Xbox on a miniature television that's an open box deal.
And we will address the Walmart situation in the next segment so our listeners can get a good understanding.
Sudden, we're glad.
Go ahead and just share the greatness of the league with the listeners.
We will. Sudden, it's good to hear your voice. Thanks for calling in. Me and BC will be there this weekend. Might do a little recruiting while we're in Tennessee. Good to hear from you. We'll talk to you soon.
Maybe we should do a live stream, BTB radio live stream in Nashville.
We could do that. Maybe so. Thanks for calling, Sudden. We got to get to a break. We'll be back in just a minute. We got a lot coming up in the 6:30 segment, so stay tuned.
When we win, our customers really win. This is Steve Brennan at Brennan Dodge in Ruston, and Brennan Dodge has just been awarded the prestigious J.D. Power Customer First Award for Excellence. As one of only three Chrysler dealers in the state to achieve this, we are proud of our employees for their tireless efforts to put our customers first in everything we do. So thank you to Rusty Wilfong, Randy Funes, Ricky Meyer, Christina Rowley, Tommy Tomlin, and Todd Teal and staff. We make sure each Brennan Dodge customer's experience is of the highest caliber. Come in and see firsthand why customers are first at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the Uncommon Bank, www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Get on the Express at Fairway Carts. The new EasyGo Express electric 4x4 is now in stock, and it's what you've waited years for. A silent four-wheel drive cart that seats four and has the power and torque you need. With trail tires, brush guards, and a whole lot more, Express is engineered to help you have a better hunt. The EasyGo Express electric 4x4, coming soon to Fairway Carts in Minden. Come by Highway 531 just north of I-20 or call 800-960-CART.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. As always, I'd like to thank Sutton Davison for joining us this week live on the air. As we mentioned, he's getting married this weekend, so we figured we'd give him a little bit of his time to shine, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. But just to follow up on, you know, what Sutton was talking about, you know, 7-5 overall, an opportunity to go 8-5 overall with the Hawaii Bowl, with Hawaii coming up December 22nd in Honolulu. Great opportunity for Tech to go out to Hawaii to win on the island for the first time in the program's history. If you remember, Tech and Hawaii shared the same conference in the Western Athletic Conference days. You know, Tech's 2-8 all time against Hawaii. The only two times Tech has beaten Hawaii has been in Ruston. Like I said, 0-5 on the island. So it's a big opportunity. And Jalen Ferguson, Teddy Veal spoke to the media last Wednesday. And the number one thing is obviously it's a business trip. It's a pretty cool trip, you know, from a traveling perspective. Ferguson mentioned that he's never seen the ocean. And you have to feel for kids. You know, it's a great opportunity for them to get out and experience a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But Teddy Veal quickly followed up with, you know, as fun of a trip as this is going to be, the mission is to go out to the island and win. And that's the biggest thing. You know, Tech's playing in their fifth consecutive bowl game, an opportunity to win their fifth consecutive bowl game. So hopefully they can get that done. You look at this Hawaii team, Nick Rolovich is their head coach. Rolovich played quarterback back at Hawaii. He's in his third year as the Warriors' head coach. 18-21 overall. He was 7-7 in 2016 with a Hawaii Bowl victory. 3-9 a year ago in 2017 before rebounding to go 8-5 this year as they'll look for another Hawaii Bowl win against Louisiana Tech. Looking at the rest of this Hawaii team, when you think about Hawaii, you think about the run and shoot offenses that June Jones ran, you know, back in the days of Timmy Chang. Tapes, you remember Timmy Chang and Colt Brennan? I used to love watching those two play the quarterback position. I remember when Colt Brennan brought that Hawaii squad, they were fighting for a BCS bowl. Tech loses 45-44. I think Derek Dooley actually went for two to try to win the football game. But this is a team, they're gonna play the same way that June Jones played. They want to score a tremendous amount of points. They're scoring 32 points per game this year. Cole McDonald at quarterback, he's just a sophomore. He's thrown for 3,790 yards, 32 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He's a dual-threat guy. Beck, we don't like seeing dual-threat guys.
No, Ben, they're kind of tough to cover defensively.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, when things get off kilter, they're able to escape the pocket. You know, generally, I was looking at some of McDonald's stats today. You know, he's going to carry the ball 10-plus times. You know, he's generally going to end up with 35, 40 yards a game. Granted, that's not a huge number, but that also takes into account how many times, you know, probably 2 or 3 sacks a game. So he can do some things with his legs. He's completing 59% of his throws, which is not a great percentage. For comparison, Jamar's completing 57%. So if you can limit the big plays with, you know, the guys that they have on the outside, when you talk about John Ursua, I can't wait to see Ursua and Amik Robertson go at it. Ursua, who knows if I'm saying this right?
Nobody knows.
He's 5'10", 175.
So is Amik.
That's what I was about to say. You know, they should be attached to the hip all night. Ursua has 89 catches, 1,343 yards, 16 touchdowns. We remember what Amik did to Courtland Sutton a year ago. Sutton's now playing in the NFL for the Broncos, actually having a pretty solid rookie year. So I'm excited to see what Amik can do. I know Amik was named first team conference, all conference USA today. And just talk a little bit, you know, we talked probably 2 or 3 times on the show this year about how would Amik receive the recognition now that he's not getting targeted quite as much. I think it's fair to say that he has.
Yeah, and I was really actually glad to see that, and I was kind of worried that he was going to go under the radar. And that's just an interesting position where if you don't hear much about him, that's kind of a good thing. There was a few instances this year where Amik had an interception, hit him in the hands, So I can look at those stats and be like, man, he was so close to having four or five interceptions.
Well, and we talk about Amik's stats, you know, and he doesn't have the five interceptions that he had a year ago. But I was texting with you earlier today, and he really had a really solid season. You know, 57 tackles, 7.5 for loss, 2 interceptions, 12 pass breakups, forced a fumble, recovered a fumble, 3 quarterback hurries, 2 blocked field goals. It just seems like, while you may not notice him all that much, he's just filling, you know, so to speak, he's filling the box score on a weekly basis. And, you know, as good of a year as he had as a freshman, this year, you know, last year he gives up 691 yards to opposing receivers. This year he only gives up 488. Last year he allows 6 touchdowns. This year he only allows 1. Last year opposing quarterbacks completed 67% of their throws. This year only 57%. So,
Last year we got big play Amik. This year we got consistent play Amik.
Yeah, week in and week out.
And, you know, him being a true freshman last year, you know, especially the first couple of games of the season,
people were attacking.
In every meeting, they're like, you're throwing this dude all night. Like, and there was times when, you know, and I commented on just, I haven't seen the tenacity from him this year. But he, like, last year, it was like a campaign to prove himself. I mean, he was calling for the ball. He'd get burned, but then he'd clap back, and the next play he'd make would be an interception or pick six or something, you know. And it was like, man, like, you really earned your respect for him, and it seems like other teams also learned to respect him.
Yes, exactly.
But I'm just thankful that kind of gives you faith in the award system to know he wasn't flashy this year, but he did his job consistently.
Yeah, and he also saw 25 fewer throws come his way. So you talk about that respect factor. He certainly earned the respect, and I hope we see – campaign Amik this week, you know, throw the football at Hawaii in, what is it, 3 weeks, 18 days from now. Hope we see, you know, challenge me. Let me show you what I can do. But the matchup between him and John Ursua will certainly be one to watch. Cedric Bird, also a receiver for the Warriors, 939 yards, 9 touchdowns. JoJo Ward, 865 yards, 9 touchdowns. So when you look at the three receivers, that they're going to make up a bulk of the offense. And you know, whether it's Amik Robertson, Lajarius Sneed, you know, Daryl Lewis at safety, Jordan Baldwin back there. I know Daniel Lewis, grad transfer that played his final year at Tech, started his career at Hawaii, will have one final time to play against his former teammates. It'll be interesting to see how this Tech secondary stacks up. And looking at, you know, Hawaii from a run game perspective, it's non-existent. 114 yards a game. They don't really like to run the football. They really run a bunch of draw plays to kind of keep you off balance to some degree. No running back has over 450 yards. So Tech is going to have to shut down the pass defensively if they want to have a chance to succeed.
Well, if you're a Tech fan watching the game, that's all you can ask for, honestly. The big playmakers at cornerback with Sneed and Amik, both those guys have been a ton of fun to watch. This will give Jalen Ferguson a lot of opportunities to get some sacks. Ben,
hopefully Jalen gets a record.
He needs one and a half, correct?
To tie it, yeah.
So to your knowledge, there's no talk of Jalen sitting this game out.
No. Yeah, we're going to talk about that in the last segment. Okay. We're going to talk about players sitting out.
He tweeted something about needing 1.5 more or something.
Oh, he's hungry. He's hungry. So looking at the defensive side of things, Beck, we know we've beat it like a dead horse. Tech has had their fair share of inconsistencies offensively. But if they're going to have a big day, they have a chance to against this Hawaii defense that's giving up 440 yards a game, over 35 points per game. Jelani Tavai, he's their best player. He has a chance to be the first senior linebacker off the board in the 2019 NFL draft. 82 tackles this year, 370 tackles for his career. From a pass rushing standpoint, really only one pass rusher, Kaimana Padello, 7.5 sacks. He's a speed guy, and that could give Tech some issues, especially when you look at some of the issues O'Shea Dugas has had at tackle this year. Padello, 6', 215 pounds, a little undersized. Like I said, you're going to use some speed off the edge, and defensively they've only forced 9 turnovers all year. So if Tech's going to have some success offensively, it's going to be because it's a combination of things. You're crazy if you think I'm going to bet against this team in a bowl game with how they've performed in the previous 4 that we've seen them under Skip Holtz. It's a bowl game. It's a road game. Kind of a little bit something to prove. You know, like you mentioned, the fan base isn't really particularly behind this team right now, but hopefully they come out. There's certainly a lot to play for. These seniors get the chance to put on the red and blue for one final time, and hopefully they play well and come out with their eighth victory of 2018. So that's kind of a brief synopsis of what Hawaii looks like. We're going to really start to dive into Hawaii and Louisiana Tech, you know, next week on the 11th and the following week, which will be game week between two old WAC foes. So we're going to go ahead, take a quick timeout. Seems like the show is just flying by. When we come back after the break, Austin Brown, Mid-Major Madness, will join us to talk some Conference USA basketball. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Got stuff you need to store or haul or keep covered? You need ideal portable buildings, carports, and trailer sales. Whatever size building you need, they'll build it right on your lot. They've got utility trailers to haul what you got from 8 to 16 feet, and you can protect it all with a new carport from Ideal, the number one Eagle carport dealer in the state. Store it, haul it, cover it. Ideal Portable Buildings, Carports, and Trailer Sales. 699-9426, or find them on Facebook. Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes, live in the Sports Talk 97.7 studio. Basketball season. Seems like we're 4 or 5 weeks into it. Joined on the Fairway Carts Hotline, Austin Brown, Mid-Major Madness. It's been a long time, no talk. Austin, how are we doing tonight?
It has been too long. I'm doing excellent. How are y'all doing?
We're doing pretty good. You know, I can't complain outside of the fact that I'm looking at your Mid-Major Madness rankings this week. I've been seeing Louisiana Tech in your top 25, but this week, nowhere to be found.
One too many losses to Delaware, I would say. I mean, the rankings at this point in the season are tough. You just look, I mean, really, you look at after you get past about 15, 20, there are about, I don't know, 15, 20 teams you could throw in there to the last five spots. So, Tech's up and down the bubble. They could win a few more games, but yeah, the Delaware loss was really what did them in as far as my rankings.
Well, and you know, we talk a lot about, you know, I mentioned, too, that Tech's fallen out of your mid-major top 25, but there was also one other school that I missed. It was Baylor. Where were the Baylor Bears? I know they're not a mid-major, but they have to be considered for this poll, right?
They should be. The Baylor Bears are got whooped up by Texas Southern at home on opening night. They're terrible. This point is kind of just let's see how many terrible seasons Scott Drew can have in a row and still keep a job, and he seems to be doing pretty well, so it's honestly pretty respectable. If I could be that bad at my job and still keep it for, I don't know, 14 years, that's not a bad life.
I hear you. Well, let's talk some Conference USA hoops. You know, you look at the early portion of Conference USA hoops, obviously North Texas is playing extremely well, 8-1 overall. The schedule's pretty soft. I know the one loss was to Oklahoma. Who knows what Lon Kruger has this year now that Trey Young is gone. Western Kentucky's a team that's expected to be near the top. But really, all in all, you know, from my point of view, I'm not real sure who's supposed to be the favorite at this point.
Yeah, there's definitely – this is one of the most competitive I've seen the conference in a while. I feel like the last few years coming in, it was Middle Tennessee was the favorite, at least. I mean, with Kermit Davis gone, they've definitely fallen back this year. Western Kentucky, I would say, is definitely the most talented team in the conference. I don't necessarily know that that means that they'll finish at the top, because that doesn't always translate, especially when you're heavily reliant on freshmen and you're on a good seniors. But it's definitely – I mean, I think there are five or six teams that could end up winning the conference. So it's the most competitive I've seen in the last few years.
And you talk about, you know, the conference for years. It seems like Middle Tennessee's been towards the top of the league. Kermit Davis has now moved on. Middle Tennessee's 3-5 overall. They've lost four straight games. Is that a Kermit Davis factor, or, you know, did they lose a lot when you talk about Giddy Potts leaving the team after this previous season? Is it just one of those years for Middle Tennessee, or did Kermit Davis really mean that much to that program?
It's a combination of both. I mean, you look at a lot of these mid-major programs, and it's just kind of cyclical. I mean, you're not getting a lot of the one-and-done guys or guys that come in and make an impact immediately. So you'll get a class of guys, if you can get like a Giddy Potts who will stay for, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years, you get guys like that to stay. And then, I mean, they eventually leave and then you take a step back. So it's usually cyclical. I mean, especially at this level, it's hard to really stay at the top of your league. So I think it's a combination of both. I think coaching is really important. I mean, Kermit Davis lost the talent. I mean, they were just bound to have a down year after a while, but they had a good run. They could very well be back in the next few years, but this just pretty clearly isn't the same Middle Tennessee team we've seen the last 2 or 3 years.
Absolutely, and I don't know if you've had the chance to really look into it really in depth, but Conference USA earlier this summer, maybe back into the spring, came out with a new scheduling, I'll call it a ploy, maybe a hope to get more than one team into the big dance. They've scheduled out their first 14 games of the season, and then they'll break you into pods to where you'll be giving the opportunity. If you're an upper echelon team, I think if you finish in the top four of the league, you'll be able to play the three teams that are up there with you, kind of to help your quote-unquote RPI or your net, which we'll get to in a sec. How do you think this scheduling pod is going to work out? Is it really realistic to think that this league can become a two-bid league as it stands now without any, you know, major programs that are perennially in the top 25?
I think it's well on its way to becoming a two-bid league this year. You look at the pod system makes sense to me because once you play everybody, the committee heavily values big-time wins. And look, if you're Louisiana Tech, let's say toward the end of the year, they're in second or third in the league, playing Rice or Charlotte again is not really going to do much for you. I mean, it's a scenario where you can either go in and flop and that pretty much ruins your season, or you beat them and that adds absolutely nothing to your resume. So I get trying to stack that. A lot of that's in the non-conference, but then when you do disappear and play other teams in your league for a while, I think it's a good move. I mean, let's say that, I don't know, Tech is hot, closes out the year with wins over Marshall and Western Kentucky. That's going to give them a lot better taste than if they're playing Florida Atlantic, FIU, UTEP, some of those teams toward the bottom. So I like the scheduling as a whole. I want to see the best teams play. It just makes for a better product. I mean, it gets people are a lot more likely to watch if you got the top couple teams in your league competing. So I like it. Whether or not it'll work out kind of remains to be seen. It could also lead to some cannibalism if teams suffer losses at the end of the year that people didn't think they would. But I think it'll help. I guess very well see this being a two-bid league this year.
Absolutely. And, you know, you look at, you know, the pod scheduling for Conference USA, the NCAA has also come out with a new ranking system, which is called the NET. And my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, it's essentially a way to replace RPI, a way to hopefully get things more accurate as far as, you know, the top 64, top 68 teams when it comes down to Selection Sunday. Explain to our listeners a little bit about the ranking system and whether or not you think it will have a net positive come the end of the year.
So I don't know too much about the actual algorithm they put in, and I'm not really smart enough to understand it. I do know that RPI was a bad system. I mean, I think RPI was designed, I don't know, 50 years ago, back before they really had computer capabilities, and then it had something that was easy to calculate. But I think NET, it still remains to be seen how decent it is. I don't really understand why the NCAA released the NET rankings when they did, because the first ones just got laughed at, because you had Ohio State number one, you had Loyola Marymount in the top 10, Kentucky was in the 60s, but it seems like in the last week it's kind of self-corrected. I mean, you see, like, top five right now are Virginia, Michigan, Gonzaga, Duke, Texas Tech. You can make a case for all those teams being top five teams. So I am in favor of moving away from RPI. Jury's still out on NET. To me, them releasing it week one kind of seems like when there's an election and people are analyzing with 1% of the votes recorded what's happening. You can't tell anything from that, just like you couldn't. So I don't know why they chose to do that. But I think anything that's not RPI is a good metric. And I think that it will end up favoring mid-major teams at the end, because RPI, I think that's what kind of screwed some mid-major teams out of the tournament in favor of mediocre teams from Power 5 conferences the last few years.
Well, I've certainly been sick and tired of watching Syracuse and their 8-10 record in the ACC getting to the tournament year in and year out. One more question before we let you go. Who are your top mid-major programs in the country? I don't want to hear Gonzaga. I know they're number one.
I mean, behind that, pretty easy answer. Nevada seems to be, they got a really good team. They got a combination of young guys. They got some transfers that come in, and they got guys back. I mean, they're just.
They also got former Tech transfer Jalen Harris sitting out up there this year.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to have taken the Gonzaga model of just take transfers and have them sit for a few years and run it back. I mean, it's worked for Mark Few for a while. Seems to be working for Musselman now, so he'll have a good team for years to come. Behind them in my ranking this week, I have Buffalo. They've looked really good. Obviously, had a few big wins, haven't lost yet. Team that I'm higher on the most is Davidson. I just, even though they lost some of their best players from a year ago, namely Peyton Aldridge, I think Kellen Grady is one of the best players in the country, so I could see them making a run. Furman cracked the AP top 25 this week. They've pulled a couple big wins, haven't lost yet. I kind of keep waiting for the other shoe to drop on them, but it hasn't yet. So that's who I have at the top right now. Again, it is too early to know. You have teams. It's just hard to tell if teams that have lost to good teams are better than teams that have beat bad teams. So it'll sort itself out, but at the moment, that's who I have up there. And I have Marshall pretty high in my rankings, too. I think that even though they've taken a few lumps early in the season, I think they're going to be really good.
Yeah. Elmore at Marshall. You talk about one of the better players in the country. That kid, he can shoot it. And D'Antoni's offense is so free-flowing and fun to watch as well. So good stuff tonight, Austin. How can our listeners follow you online?
Follow me on Twitter at Austin O. Brown. Now that college hoop season's going, I've been mostly focused on college football lately, but now there's kind of a lull in that. Hope to get more into college basketball, but yeah, Austin O. Brown on Twitter. And feel free to slide into my rankings and try to yell at me every week if I don't rank your team or if I don't rank them high enough, because that's one of my favorite pastimes.
All right, we'll be sure to send them your way. Good stuff. We'll catch up with you in a few weeks once things get into conference play. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely, thanks.
Austin Brown, Mid-Major Madness. Like we mentioned earlier, Beck, Dunkin' Dogs in action. Prairie View, I don't know if you know a whole lot about Prairie View, 1-7, losers of 7 straight, but, you know.
Started out of season promising after game one, but.
Yeah, beat Santa Clara game one. They've been tied or ahead in the final 5 minutes of all 7 losses, so not your typical SWAC school that's just terrible. So good stiff challenge for the Dogs tonight. Tech's currently up 18-13, a little under 10 minutes remaining in the first half. Tech's on a 14-0 run. So keep your tabs on the Dunkin' Dogs, 5-3 overall, coming off a win against Houston Baptist Saturday afternoon. When we come back from the break, we're going to kind of let you inside the league. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, MedCamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Fall brings all kinds of fun activities to the area, and the best way to enjoy them is with a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts. Whether it's tailgating at your favorite high school or college game, driving around the neighborhood with the family, or just spending time in good fall weather, an EasyGo multi-passenger vehicle is perfect. Fairway Carts has a great selection now, with new 2019 models coming in. So visit the showroom on Highway 531 in Minden, just north of I-20, or call 800-960-CART.
When we win, our customers really win. This is Steve Brennan at Brennan Dodge in Ruston, and Brennan Dodge has just been awarded the prestigious J.D. Power Customer First Award for Excellence. As one of only three Chrysler dealers in the state to achieve this, we are proud of our employees for their tireless efforts to put our customers first in everything we do. So thank you to Rusty Wilfong, Randy Funes, Ricky Meyer, Christina Rowley, Tommy Tomlin, and Todd Thielen staff. We make sure each Brennan Dodge customer's experience is of the highest caliber. Come in and see firsthand why customers are first at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
DQ fans, your hanger monster just got hanger managed with the DQ Hungry Up Deal. A single, double, or triple burger with cheese plus fries and a mini Blizzard treat starting at just $4. Three deals meant to satisfy any level of hunger. From hungry-ish to hungry to straight up hangry. Meet your new hanger management system today. The Hungry Up Deal, only at your DQ. This is fan food, not fast food.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed and Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle, Beck Haynes here, Sports Talk 97.7 studio. Beck, little housekeeping. We mentioned last week, open recruiting period opened up. Skip Holtz, his staff, hosted seven recruits this past weekend. Another big weekend coming up this weekend, which will be December the 8th. I've caught up with, of the seven recruits that visited, I've caught up with all seven. Join us, BleedTechBlue.com, only $9.95 a month. In fact, 1 minute before we went on the air, Louisiana Tech picked up their 12th commitment for the 2019 class. Game changer on the defensive side of the football for Blake Baker's unit. Join us, BleedTechBlue.com, $9.95 a month for the latest. It's a big get. Priority guy that was really needed when you look at some of the outgoing talent that Tech will be missing in 2019. Actually wrote a story today on cornerback commit Christian Archangel. Pretty cool story. Go check it out. It's free. You can read it. Christian Archangel, pretty good story. Cornerback Como High School out of Lafayette. So, Beck, I know early on in the show when we had Sutton on, you mentioned to Sutton that he was in the loser playoffs for our fantasy football league. Now, this isn't tech related, but this is pretty cool.
Slow week in sports, Ben.
Slow week in sports, and it's a pretty cool story.
We got a 3 week lull. We may be getting to some other things that, you know, really spur our interest, and we hope they spur yours.
And let me tell you, before you get into this story about our fantasy football league, let me give the listeners a little insight. We have a fantasy football league where there's extreme commitment, pretty heavy buy-in. Maybe not should be mentioned on the air.
Yep. Don't want the wives to know.
Yeah, don't want the wives to know. And now you're not kicked out of the league if you finish in last place, but you have some pretty rough repercussions. So
Should I run through them all?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. This is the fourth year of the league.
Okay, so I had this vision. I was pretty frustrated with leagues. With, you know, you could have a $20 buy-in, whatever. But, you know, if you didn't make the playoffs, people stop updating their rosters, and then it's like, this ain't fun for anybody. So I had a solid group of people in mind, and I thought would take it as seriously as I wanted.
Luckily,
to.
Luckily, I made the cut.
Luckily, Ben, really the league was built around Ben Carlisle, if you can imagine that. And so I spent a couple hours and I drafted this document. I think it was like 12 pages or something, and I bound it and glued it, and I shipped it to all these people with a contract in it, and they had never heard anything of it. So they just get this thing in the mail, which I was pretty proud of. So I got a nearly unanimous decision to be involved. Had a couple people just be like, this is too much. I'm out.
They couldn't handle the heat.
Couldn't handle it, which I'm glad. We're glad that that happened. So we have consequences for not setting your lineup.
You have to pay a fine.
You have to pay a fine. You have, like, I mean, there's all kind of stuff. And so it's kind of been refined, and I feel like we're in a real sweet spot right now.
Let me just add this. If this is not a dynasty league, but if it was, Beck would have quit the league.
I would have had to have quit.
Because I would have won the league every year. All right, keep going.
So anyways, the first year, I'm so, just so involved. I'm a commissioner. I'm so involved in trying to make this league the best that it can be. And I just forgot. I forgot to be good at fantasy football, so I lost the first year.
You lost the first 2 years.
I lost. Well, I was getting there, Ben. I lost the first 2 years. Second year, same story. Anyways, the first year, our punishment, which we thought was hilarious at the time, was you got to take the ACT. So 25-year-old Beck just walked into GTM at Tech, thank God. I was just left there like 2 years ago, so I still knew where to go.
Yeah, you did.
They were the nervous ones. They'd never been in a college classroom before. So I walked in, took my test, scored 4 points better than high school, and got out of there.
But 90% of the room outscored
you. Yeah, that's right. Probably. They were.
You know, going from a 15 to a 19 is not all that special.
Yeah, you should have seen the looks I was getting in there. So anyways, next year comes around, same story.
Different year.
This year, we had some issues with trying to figure out the punishment, but it basically came down to the loser had to run a half marathon. Now, that's a perfect punishment for about half our league, and the other half of the league could probably wake up tomorrow and run a half marathon. There's probably one person that everybody wanted to have to do this.
And it was you.
And it was me, and I lost. I would say my second year was injuries and the Lord just stepping in and just having some fun, humbling me. So I had to run a half marathon on my birthday. Last year, we had our first league member quit. Couldn't handle it.
Couldn't handle the heat, so he got out
That's
the kitchen.
Fine. So we had somebody take over his team mid-year.
And you have and to it was buy a rough in. Team.
You have to buy in. Yeah, you have to buy in. It was a rough year. So he ends up losing.
He had no shot.
He gets in the middle of the season. He ends up losing. Poor guy has to get a belly button ring, okay? I'm not real proud of that punishment.
I am.
I mean, It's funny for 5 minutes.
Listen, hold on a sec. Let's make this real clear. He had an option to do something else.
That's right, he did.
And most of you out there in the listening audience have young children, and your wives post the monthly picture of your baby.
One month old, 2 month on the blanket.
He could have done that.
He could have done that for a year.
In a Speedo.
1 month of being the fantasy loser.
Yeah, he could have done that, but he chose belly button ring.
Which... He's not married, so I don't blame him. That's an easy one for that. But we struggle with trying to find a punishment that the whole league can enjoy. And usually it's like, oh, one picture and that's funny, or oh, you wouldn't take the ACT, or oh, you had to run the half marathon. We haven't really found a punishment that's where the league can enjoy it for an extended period of time.
Yes.
I think we got it this year.
We did.
One of our league members and former occasional Bleed Tech Blue host, Lane Davison, came up with a really great punishment. And, you know, every year people are like, oh, I can't do that punishment because of my job, or I can't, you know, shave my eyebrows because I got to go to work. And, you know, so we always have these excuses. Well, nobody had an excuse for this one except I just don't want to do that. So this year our loser has to spend 24 consecutive hours in a 24-hour Walmart.
Now, that is terrible.
So we're like, aha, that's so funny. But then as playoffs get closer, you start to maybe, like, look and see, there's a chance that this could be me. And then you start really thinking about it, and it's a terrible punishment. First of all, having to stay awake. I'm assuming you're staying awake in Walmart for 24 hours is tough enough. I haven't even done it one time in my whole life.
It'll also be on Facebook Live.
It'll be on, you know, they're going to have to, you know, Instagram story, they document this whole deal, be online, whatever. So I think the league's going to fully get to enjoy it this year because of that. So anyway, so it, honestly, the entire league was pretty close except for like one or two teams being no shot at making it and one team being like, I've won enough. So it kind of came down to last week. I really needed to win to solidify my playoff, and I got it against Ben for the second time this year. Finished the year with a better record than Ben.
Sutton, for the first time in your life.
Yeah, for the first time in my life. Sutton, on the other hand, dropped a must-win game, and he is headed to the loser playoffs.
And listen,
on his wedding week.
And,
I mean,
and listen, if you or I could go to had to go to Walmart for 24 hours, like, I hope they got an Xbox. And I might.
So we talked about what do you, like, literally, what do you do? Somebody said, I lock myself in the dressing room and go
to
sleep.
How do you eat? You better hope there's Subway.
Yeah, you better hope. Yeah, you can pick any Walmart you want to go to. You better go find one in a nice neighborhood. I know one of our guys lives in Little Rock, and he said, have you been to the Little Rock Walmart? It's a death sentence, so I'm literally fighting for my life in this league. Well, he ends up getting a first-round bye. Talk about motivation. Anyways, Absolutely. The guy, we started talking, what are you going to do? And, you know, what I said I was going to do was just go buy an Xbox and ask him to set it up.
Yeah, and like, then return it.
I mean, I wasn't going to say that on air, Vid, but I wasn't going to do that. I've been wanting the Xbox anyway.
You could come up with one heck of a dynasty on Madden.
No doubt. And just, you know, as people walk by, just ask if they want some, you know?
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
You want some of this?
Yeah, so, you got time to challenge me in Walmart? I got 22 more hours.
So Sutton and his infinite wisdom said, we got to get Walmart to get on board with this and they can promote it. And, my thought was, I'm sure Walmart wants to promote that somebody's worst punishment they could think of was spending 24 hours in their store. So,
yeah. Well,
that's a good one, Sutton. Probably not going to happen.
But
that's a side note.
Yeah, that's a little insight into our fantasy football
in
league.
And if you have any questions, I mean, I feel like we've sorted out a lot over the last 4 years.
And if you have suggestions for
us. Actually, we're always looking to improve the league. We know if you're a football fan, you're almost most definitely a fantasy football player. Tabes is over here always just swearing at his lineup, so we know he plays. I mean,
if you won't in the league, please let us know.
We accept applications. We reject almost 100% of them. But
hey, if you're willing to pay the big bucks, we might go to a 12-team league.
That's right. We've talked about having like a relegation. Is that the word? So if the bottom two teams go down to a B league, if you will, and the top two teams of the B league move up.
Now I would hate that crap.
Yeah, I would. As soon as I got in the B league, I'd be out.
Yeah,
but
I hear you.
That's
so
why we.
That's a little insight into our fantasy football league, Beck's favorite segment of the show, maybe his favorite segment all time since he's been the co-host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Just shifting back a little bit, some honors for the Tech football team today. O'Shea Dugas, Jalen Ferguson, Amik Robertson named first team All-Conference USA selections. Nice honor for them. Certainly a nice way for Jalen Ferguson to go out in his final season as a Bulldog. I think he's got 23.5 tackles for loss, 15 sacks. We talked about 1.5 sacks away from Terrell Suggs' all-time record. Beck, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but I was looking at Mel Kiper's big board earlier this week. Jalen Ferguson up to number 17 overall. I know the blonde bomber Terry Bradshaw was drafted number 1 overall. I know Troy Edwards was drafted.
I would have loved
high.
To have been in Tech when Terry Bradshaw was here and got drafted.
Yeah, well, you'd be pretty old now, and I don't think you'd be here. But
as in, like, I wouldn't be, I would have deceased.
No, you would not be co-hosting the show.
You don't know that.
Well, you know, it is what it is. But pretty nice honor for them. Jalen Ferguson up to number 17 overall, looking to become Louisiana Tech's latest first round.
Is that 17 like overall of all players or
defensive? Yeah, overall of all players.
So he's first rounder, BC.
Right now. Long way to go in the process. Drafted until April.
He'll nail the interviews, though.
Yeah, hopefully.
He's a likable fella.
Adrian Hardy, sophomore wide receiver, named second team all conference USA, over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns in his first season of, you know, playing 12 games for the Bulldogs. Beck, agree or disagree, Adrian Hardy, before he's done at Louisiana Tech, he'll be an all-timer at the receiver position.
I really think he he came on late this year, and
he's stud.
We've been talking all year. We really needed somebody to step up and be a playmaker. I was in my average fanism was shocked to find out he was only a sophomore. So yeah. I'm really excited to see what happens. Yeah, Two more years to grow. If he doesn't have just an amazing year next year and head to the draft,
head to the league, and then 14 players named honorable mention All Conference USA. Quarterback Jamar Smith, running back Jaquise Dancy, offensive lineman Ethan Reed, offensive lineman Michael Rodriguez, offensive lineman Cody Russey, wide receiver Teddy Veal, defensive tackle Jordan Bradford, defensive end Emmanuel Turner, linebacker Colin Scott, safety James Jackson, cornerback Legarius Sneed, kicker Bailey Hale, Beck's boy deep snapper Reeves Blankenship, and Teddy Veal, also named honorable mention as a punt returner as well. You know, looking at those 14 names, I think the two biggest snubs for me is Jamar. I'm kidding. Cody Russey at center. It just seems week in and week out when you look at the Pro Football Focus grades, he's deserving of being, you know, on that second team. He's playing so well as a sophomore. I think he's an all-conference guy in his final 2 years as a Bulldog in 2019 and 2020. And then Legarius Sneed, we talked a little bit about his success.
I think had he not had the start to the season that he had, he finished the last five or six games
really well.
Yeah,
and he's going to have a really strong senior season. And, you know, we talked about before the season that, you know, the two corners, when you look at Amik and Legarius, that they could be the best duo in the conference. And I think it's fair to say that if they aren't the best duo, they're right there with, you know, whoever is the best duo. So nice for these, 18 Bulldogs to receive these honors. Like I said, Hawaii Bowl, December 22nd, a lot more to prove. Another chance to compete, another chance to put together an 8-win season and head into the 2018-2019 offseason with a good taste in your mouth. So when we come back from the break, we'll wrap up the show. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio, final segment of the show. Beck, you mentioned it a little bit earlier. You know, the big thing in college football that seems to be becoming, I don't even know if that makes sense, more of a trend on a yearly basis is players sitting out bowl games, whether whether, you know, you look at LSU, Greedy Williams, top five, top ten draft pick, says, you know what, I love that my school's going to a power or a New Year's Six Bowl, but it's not worth the risk for me. And then on the opposite end, you have a Devin White, you know, top five to ten pick at linebacker, says he's going to play in the bowl game. You look at Auburn, Jared Stidham, quarterback, probably a fifth or sixth rounder, says he's going to sit out the bowl game potentially. It's in the air right now. Some say he'll play.
He needs to play a good bowl game to help him.
And then you look at, you know, in Louisiana Tech's case, you got Jalen Ferguson, a guy that, you know, like I said, number 17 on Mel Kiper's big board. Take it for what it's worth. You can like Mel Kiper or you can't. I don't care. But clearly a high draft pick. So with this new phenomenon of players sitting out bowl games, what are some of your thoughts on the whole situation? I know some fans are okay with it. Some fans are okay with it because they understand it, and some fans just think it's just flat stupid.
I'll tell you, I don't like it, but I understand it. And
that's where I'm at.
And so it's interesting to me. Like, I tell you who their everybody's favorite player in Baton Rouge is, and it's Devin White.
Oh, yeah.
And Greedy is Greedy.
Yep.
He going – I mean, I get it. Like,
yeah, we get it.
I'm shocked that he's projected to go that high. Just me. He went to my alma mater of a high school that I don't like to talk about. So
gotta love the Calvary Cavaliers.
So I don't know. I don't. So my argument is you know, you these are obviously scholarship guys. The university's paying for your school. They've put a lot into you, and for you to be like, I'm not gonna play when it counts. Kind of a deal. I don't like that aspect of it. I get it. Their future is in jeopardy, and you got like the Jake Butt situation, who was gonna do great, and he tore his ACL or something, and
fumble.
Yeah, so he loses a ton of money, you know, on that, and so you can't fault a man for sitting out to make sure he can take care of his family. I don't want to put like a "you can if" stipulation on it, but I don't know, Ben. There's so many bowl games, like a New Year's Bowl or a college playoff. I'm like, you don't like. You've worked to get here. Yeah, you've worked to go to the NFL too, but you got a lot of your team like riding on this.
And here's,
if Jalen wanted to sit this bowl out, I wouldn't be that mad.
Well, and here's my take on it. Like you said, like, if you want to sit out, I understand. Like, we know, like, in the grand scheme of things, if Jalen Ferguson or whoever, Christian McCaffrey a few years ago, if you win a bowl game, from an individual perspective, it doesn't do a whole lot for you, unless, you know, you go out in Ferguson's case and have five sacks. But the realistic chance of that happening is probably not very strong.
Right.
So I understand it. I understand keeping your body healthy. And, you know, you can also say, well, why'd you play the previous 12 games? Well, I think that's a little bit different. Like, your 12 games, it's your regular season. Now you've reached a point where you know I'm one live football game away from reaching my dream of potentially becoming an NFL draft
pick.
And
I'm already there if I don't play.
Yeah, and so I don't want to risk it. And so that makes sense. But the argument to me is, like you said, from a team standpoint, you've went to war with the other 84 scholarship players in that locker room for 364 days a year, and 98% of them aren't going to get an opportunity to play in the NFL. So from my standpoint, you owe it to them a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they've busted it for you. Can you bust it for them one more time? And in Jalen Ferguson's case, and we've mentioned it at Bleed Tech Blue on the message board, will he sit out, won't he sit out? And we all understand if he would. To me, knowing Jalen Ferguson, the little bit I do know him,
he's playing.
I don't think there's any chance it's ever crossed his mind. And I don't think it's because he's 1.5 sacks from Terrell Suggs' record.
No, that had nothing to do with
it. I think he's a true team guy. That's the impression.
Well, he came back from last year. He could have gone last year.
He could have easily went and got his money.
So for him to come back this year and
– and he's got a young son. Like, I've seen that excuse being made for some players. You know, I got a family. I get it. Like, I truly get it. But to me, in a way, and I don't want to sound harsh when I say that, but, like, you're a team guy, you're not.
Yeah.
Like, you love your school or you don't. Like, you look at LSU. Like, what's this, the first New Year's Six Bowl they've played in like – 6, 7
years.
Yeah,
that's why I don't like it.
This means something to their program to get back to where they want to get to. In Louisiana Tech's case, Jalen Ferguson's been a part of 4 bowl wins.
He could easily sit out.
Yeah, but hey, you could also be the guy say, you know what, I won 5 bowl games in my 5 years at
Tech.
That's
true. That's very true.
And, to a person that doesn't think bowl games are very significant, that's nothing. But, to be able to say that to your kids when you're 35, 40 years old, that I think that's pretty meaningful.
Yeah.
And, if you tell your kid, hey, I sat out this one, you're also teaching your kid some things. And granted, it doesn't matter if you're got $40, $50 million in the bank probably. But it's just it's the moral of it.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's from a fan perspective, we easily have opinions about that, but we put ourselves in these guys' shoes and, the off chance that they have a pretty serious injury in a game that's pretty physical is enough for them to, whatever. But I kind of rest my opinion on whether the team is dependent on you or not, and I know every game they are, especially if you're a high enough quality player to where even considering sitting out makes sense because obviously you're have a shot in the league. But, a game where it's this is big for the program and we need you, that's when I'm don't sit out. They've invested money and time in you and give it back to them. You haven't left yet. The season's not over. Don't quit. But a game, not that Tech's game doesn't matter, the Tech's bowl game doesn't matter, but it's not near the significance that an LSU or some of those other bigger games are to the rest of the team. I think the team's really looking forward to a great vacation and another chance to get 5 consecutive bowl wins, but they're not going to sing We Are Champions and have a parade on Tech Drive if we win this bowl game.
Hey, we might. So real quick, before we go, real quick, look at the bowl matchups for Conference USA. We mentioned Louisiana Tech's going to Honolulu to face Hawaii in the Hawaii Bowl. North Texas versus Utah State in the New Mexico Bowl. UAB versus Northern Illinois in Boca Raton. Middle Tennessee versus Appalachian State in New Orleans. It's a pretty intriguing matchup. Florida International will take on Toledo in the Bahamas. And Marshall versus South Florida in the St. Pete Bowl. So 6 teams from Conference USA go bowling. Southern Miss was the 17th that was bowl eligible. Ultimately, they are left at home for the 2nd consecutive year. A Conference USA team is left at home. It was UTSA a season ago when they finished up at 6-5. So, good show tonight. Next week, we'll continue to break down Hawaii, Louisiana Tech, and the Hawaii Bowl. We'll talk some Duck and Dog basketball. And Beck, next week, also want to jump in and talk about the landscape of the G5 and where Tech stands amongst its peers. So, good show tonight for Beck Haynes, our producer John Tabor running the board. We'll be back next week. We'll see you.
Listen for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Sports Talk 977 with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Time, Fairway Carts, O'Neill Gas, and Brister Smokehouse. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 977.
And I'm happy. I hope the Redskins don't win another game and lose the division because they're not trying to win. And when you're not trying to win and you're playing politics and you're doing all this other stuff, you don't deserve to win. And I hope they don't win another game.
Well,
that's me.
No, you could be right. I mean, they're not winning that division. They're not getting to the playoffs because, as you said, they're not trying. And the hardcore fans of that team need to be in an uproar. You are not out of it. How many years is the NFC going to be horrible like it is right now?
Right, well, you have an opportunity.
You're right there. You were ruling the division a few weeks ago. Now you lost three straight. You lost your two quarterbacks. And there's a capable quarterback out there whose passer rating and all of that is better than Mark Sanchez's, and you won't even look at him.
And Chris, so the Redskins are leaning towards Josh Johnson. And when you compare, I know, Josh
Johnson. Why don't they bring in Nathan Peterman?
I mean, who? But Kaepernick has a higher completion percentage, higher passer rating, higher yards per attempt, 7.3 to 5.9, and touchdowns, Kaepernick 72 to Josh Johnson's 5. And when it comes to wins, Kaepernick has 28 and Josh Johnson has 0. This is what we're talking about. This is why the Redskins should never win another football game this year and should lose the division, because they're not keeping it real. They're not being honest. It's about going for the best guy available, and that's not what they're doing right now. So let them get Josh Johnson.